1 in your Bible tonight, Genesis chapter number 1. It is so good to be back again in the Tri-Cities area. We flew over today and it was a beautiful day, and man, those mountains were in full fall colors. And man, I'm telling you, it made me homesick. And I used to live up the road here and in Marion, Virginia. And I moved from Marion, Virginia to Atlanta, Georgia. That's like going from the Waltons to Peyton Place, I'm telling you right now. But we love this part of the country. I mean that. I tell people, they say, where'd I go? If I could choose any place just, you know, to live and finish out my days, man, I love Tri-Cities, Tennessee. And I appreciate the churches in this area. And I appreciate this man of God right here. Just doing a great job for the Lord. And I think, Dr. Gene, what I love about him the most, he is not ashamed of his heritage. I meet so many young fellas today that acts like they are totally ashamed to be called a Baptist. They're totally ashamed to identify with the past generation. Man, I am where I am because of that generation. And I don't know how you feel about it, but I'm eating in vineyards that I didn't plant. I'm drinking from wells I didn't dig. I'm living in houses I didn't build. I'm glad to build on the foundation of another. And the Lord is good. I want you to turn to somebody to your right and say, you look good tonight. You really do. You look good tonight. Now I want you to turn to somebody on your left and say, you need prayer. Praise God. Oh my. You'd be surprised at the men that really fall for that. I was preaching in Knoxville the other night. Come in, a guy in the back had his arm around this lady. I said, hey buddy. I said, is that your sweetheart? I said, no, it's my wife. Oh boy, they had a happy Valentine's Day. Praise God. Man, it's good to be saved. If you love the Lord, saved, on your way to heaven, amen. Say praise the Lord.
Praise
the preacher told me I didn't have a 15 minutes to preach, so I got a hurry. I know you know this, but by just to emphasize it, one of the great ways to study our Bible is to use what we call the law or the principle of first mention. In other words, when you read something for the very first time in the Bible, it's big, because what it does, it sets the stage, and there'll be certain characteristics that'll be in that subject every other time after the first time that it is mentioned. For instance, the first time you read the word love in the Bible is in Genesis 22. Abraham and Isaac going up the mountain, which is a wonderful picture of the substitutionary death of Christ upon the cross. And I believe you'll have to agree with me that the greatest exposition of true love was that Jesus died for us. Amen. And I love the way Paul put it to the Corinthian church, that if he died for one, he died for all. Amen. For instance, the first time you read the word worship in the Bible is in Genesis 22. Abraham is not offering God his best. He is offering God his all. And brother, we'll never really worship God till we give God our all. For instance, the first time you read the word shield in the Bible is in Genesis 15. Abraham has made those confederated kings mad. They've threatened to come and wipe his little family off of the face of the earth. And God appears unto him in that smoking furnace and that burning lamp and says, fear not, I am thy shield, thy exceeding great reward. And he is telling Abraham, I'm not just enough, I'm more than enough to take care of you. Well, we come to our text tonight and we meet somebody for the very first time in the Bible. And what he is doing the first time we meet him, he is still doing it. And what he did the first time we meet him, when he did it, we're still feeling the effects of it tonight. Before I give it to you, let me ask you two questions. Number one, how many would agree with me that the Bible is the greatest book ever been written?
Amen.
Number two, how many agree with me that the revelation of God to mankind is the greatest revelation that's ever been given?
Amen.
Well, with that in mind, think about this. God is getting ready to write the greatest book ever been written. He is getting ready to give the greatest revelation that has ever been given. And he's not even two complete verses into it that he introduces us to somebody for the very first time. And if God introduces us to somebody, I mean right from the start, I believe it's important that we get to know who he's talking about. And what he did the first time we meet him, I'm glad he's still doing it tonight.
Amen.
Let's read about it in Genesis 1:1. In the beginning, God created the heaven and the earth. And by the way, I still believe that.
Yeah, right.
Verse number 2. And the earth was without form and void, and darkness was upon the face of the deep. Here it is now, first mention. And the Spirit of God. This is the first mention of the Holy Spirit in the Bible. Remember now, the greatest book that has ever been written, and God's not even two complete verses into it, to immediately were introduced to the Holy Spirit. Why do you think God put such importance upon that? Well, because later on in the revelation of God, he's going to say, not by power, not by might, but by my what? By my Spirit, saith the Lord. He makes it important because later on in his revelation, he's going to remind us that the letter killeth, but the Spirit maketh alive. He puts importance on it because later on in his revelation, he is going to remind us that the eye has not seen and the ear has not heard, neither has it entered into our heart the things that God has prepared for them that love him. But the Spirit of God will reveal them unto us. I believe if God introduces us to him right from the start, it's important that we get to know who he is. And notice what he is doing the first time he mentions him, or the first time we meet him in the Bible. And the Spirit of God, say this word with me, moved upon the face of the waters. You know what the Holy Spirit was doing the first time we meet him? Moving. And guess what he's still doing? Moving. And he moved here so powerfully that when he moved, he set the whole world into perpetual motion. Right now, this earth is in a constant motion because he moved upon the face of the deep. You say, well, I don't believe this world is moving. You get a good case of vertigo, praise God, and you'll believe it's moving. Right now, this whole world is in perpetual motion. Why? It's spinning upon its axis. It is orbiting out in space. If you don't believe the earth is moving, the wind is blowing. Air is moving through the atmosphere. If you don't think the earth is in perpetual motion, go to the, and I preach in so many circles, I don't know what to call it, but go to the ocean, seashore, coast, gulf, beach. It's all the same place. And you watch the earth in constant motion. The water is moving out and moving in. The whole world is in perpetual motion. In fact, your body tonight is in perpetual motion. I mean, blood is pulsating through your veins. Air is coming in and out of your lungs. The whole world has been in a perpetual movement since the Spirit of God moved upon the face of the deep. And my point is this tonight. If God can move on a ball of dirt, and thousands of years later, it's still moving, what in the world could happen to you and I and the body of Christ and the church of the living God if He would move upon us again? The little word moved in this text is an interesting word. The word moved in this text comes from the fowl, especially the hen world. A hen has little feathers, I mean right there next to their heart, snuggled in their breast. And that mother hen can move those feathers at such a fast pace. It can cause a warm mass of incubating air to hover, quiver, or literally brood or breathe over its young. So therefore the Bible said, and the Spirit of God moved, brooded, and the Spirit of God literally upon the face of the deep. And if the Spirit of God can breathe on a ball of dirt, and thousands of years later the ball of dirt is still a moving, why don't somebody open the window of their soul and let the Spirit of God breathe and brood and hover and move on us again. And the Spirit of God, thank God for the breath of the Holy Spirit. You know what the Holy Spirit was doing the first time we met Him? Breathing. Moving. And you know what He's still doing tonight? Breathing. And moving. You know what God wants to do for the church in these last days? Breathe and move and anoint and unctionize and empower us again with the breath and the power of the Holy Spirit. Amen. Number one, write this word down tonight. The word creation. How did this world get here? God breathed it into existence. I don't believe that there was a Nova over here and a Nova over there, and that Nova ran into that Nova, and there was this big old bang, and bang, there it was. You've got to be mentally insane to believe that. I won't tell you what I believe. I believe God. And my grandmother used to say this. And I always wanted to ask a question, but I come from that generation. No questions could be asked. If you ask a question, they thought you was being smart. And if you got smart, you got slapped so hard you thought the Liberty Bell would crack again. But my grandmother would say, oh, honey, taste these pies. Taste these cakes. Taste these biscuits. I made them from scratch. And I wanted so bad to say, who made the scratch? Ladies, I know you're preparing that big old Thanksgiving meal, but don't lie about it. Don't tell them you made it from scratch, because nobody's made nothing from scratch except God, and He invented the scratch. I mean, God stepped out of nothing and said, scratch, and said, let there be, and it was. This world was brought into existence, and life came through the breath and the moving and the unction of the Holy Spirit. Boy, this is a beautiful, beautiful world in which we live. How many will admit tonight this is a beautiful world in which we live in? Amen. One of the joys of traveling is really literally from the air to get to see such a beautiful place. Why, just this year alone, I've preached as far south as you can go, right there to the Gulf of Mexico. Not long ago, I was as far north as you could go at Sault Ste. Marie, Michigan, standing there looking at the locks over into Canada. A few months ago, we stood over there on the west coast at the Golden Gate Bridge and watched the sun set in the Pacific. The other day, I stood on the banks of North Carolina and I watched the sun come up in the east over the Atlantic. Flew over the Great Lakes and seen such a beautiful country. Man, flew over them, amen, them Smokies and them Blue Ridge Mountains and the Cumberland Gap. I was flying out west of the day and it was a clear day and the pilot said, look out your window down below and you can see the Grand Canyon. Man, when I looked down and saw that hole in the ground, I thought about that boy from Alabama that went to the Grand Canyon for the first time. He walked up to the edge and said, something happened down there. Beautiful. Flown over this country. Why, I flew over Dallas, Texas the other day and saw some of the most beautiful traffic that anybody has ever had. Boy, it's a beautiful world in which we live. I love the sunrise and the sunset. I love the blue sky and the silver clouds. I love the beautiful flowers of the green grass and the rolling hills and the sandy shores. And I know the God that stepped out upon nothing and out of nothing brought everything into existence. And he did it by his power. And he did it by his breath. And he did it by his Holy Spirit. And I've said that to say this. If God Almighty can breathe on a ball of dirt and give us something this beautiful, what in the world could he make out of our churches and our families and our homes if he would breathe and move upon us again? Creation got here. God reached down in that dirt and got him some clay and made the form or the shell of a man. Brought that shell of a man close to his nostrils. And the Bible said, and God breathed into him the breath of life. And man became a living soul. You know what brought you and I into existence? The breath, the moving of the Spirit of God. I don't believe God created us from a tadpole, a lizard, a frog, an ape, or a baboon. If I was apes and baboons, I'd get mad that God used me to make something as wicked as mankind. Who ever heard of a homo baboon? Can I get an amen right there? Who ever heard of a baboon standing in an abortion line? Come on now. But I don't believe we came from apes and baboons and lizards. Man, I had a biology teacher one time. Man, he tried his best to get me to swallow that stuff. He found out I was a young preacher. He didn't teach evolution as a theory. He taught it as a fact. I mean, he wore me out with that. But I'll tell you, my mama got a hold of me before he did. Amen. And I'm glad the Spirit of God got a hold of me before he did. I'll tell you, one time he about got me. I shook one time. One time he really shook me. We went to a PTA meeting and I saw his wife. And I thought, oh God, if there's ever been a missing link, it's her. But I'm glad I held on. I'm telling you, ladies and gentlemen, God brought it. I told you if I used your illustration, it wouldn't work. And God brought mankind by his breath. By the way, church, you know why the Bible said everything that had breath ought to praise the Lord? Because that's where our breath came from. And if God give us breath, we ought to spit it back in praise and in worship and honor to the God that gave us breath. I've heard preachers say this. I've said it. And I know what we mean. Boy, God spoke to me about this the other night. I was in a meeting and some singers were up getting ready to sing. And good old boy, he gave this testimony. He said, I just want to say this tonight. I don't know what in the world. I don't know what in the world God saw in me to make him want to go to the cross and die for me. And I've said that. And I know what we mean when we say that. But boy, I was sitting there, brother, and the Spirit of God spoke to me. God said, let me tell you what I saw in you. And let me tell you what I saw in every human being that made me want to send my son to the cross and die. He said, son, when I created you, I did something for you that I didn't do for the fowls of the air or the beasts of the field or the fishes of the sea. I gave you a spirit and I gave you a soul. I made you God conscious. And when man fell in the garden, that soul fell in the depravity of his flesh. And the Bible said, what profit a man if he gain the whole world and lose his own soul? I want to tell you what God saw in us that he thought was worth saving was that soul. That was God conscience and made it in the image of God. And God wanted to love us and fellowship and talk with us and walk with us and live with us. And I'm glad God saved us and saved our soul, lifted us up. Thank God for his breath. Creation. God here through the breath, the moving of the Holy Spirit. Number two, write this word down tonight. The incarnation. The incarnation. How did Jesus Christ become the virgin born, holy, pure Son of God? I'll tell you how. The breath, the moving of the Holy Spirit. You remember that little girl by the name of Mary? She's a virgin. And one night an angel comes and wakes her up and says, you found favor with God. You're going to have the Christ child. You're going to bring Messiah into the world. And don't you get mad at Mary because she asked a question. There's not a woman in this room tonight that wouldn't ask if an angel woke you. In fact, some of you, if an angel woke you up in the middle of the night and told you're going to have a baby, you wouldn't ask no question because you'd be dead, not able to ask no question. But she raised her hand and she said, how? All I want to know is how. How can these things be? I've never known a man. Oh, the angel said, Mary, fear not. The power of the Most High, same word, shall overshadow, brood, hover, quiver, incubate, move, and breathe. The power of the Most High shall overshadow thee. And boy, that night the Spirit of God brooded over her womb. And 9 months later, a child was born, a son is given, and his name is Jesus Christ, the sinless, impeccable, eternal Son of the living God, brought into existence by the breath and the moving of the Holy Spirit. I believe in the virgin birth of Jesus Christ. You know why a woman drops her last name and takes on the name of her husband when she gets married? Because the children she will bear him will literally, physically have his blood in them. And ladies, that's a good thing. Because the next time your child does something real dumb, and it will. Oh, Brother Arthur, my child is about to sprout wings. If you'll feel up there, that ain't wings, that's horns. Ladies, that's a good thing, because the next time your child does something really weird and I hate to use this word stupid, but they will. Boy, you can look at your husband and say, Henry, they're yours. Boy, Mrs. Arthur, I love her. I miss my wife. She's a blessing. Man, my son, my daughter, when they were making honor roll, getting scholarships, getting accepted into college, I mean, doing things great. Mrs. Arthur's like, oh, Joe, our children are just great. Our children are just great. Oh, but you let Bubba get in trouble at school, or Joanna wreck the car once, twice, multiple occasions. The last car of hers I sold, it had 7 hoods, 9 trunks, and 12 bumpers. That guy said, Pastor Arthur, has that car ever been wrecked? I said, sir, on multiple occasions. I mean, you know it's bad when you get a letter from your insurance company saying, sir, we'll insure you, but that daughter you know is as kicked out. But all of a sudden, when Joseph wasn't doing right, or my baby girl wasn't, it was always, Joe, that daughter of yours. Joe, that son of yours. Come on now, guys. I feel your pain. Come on, raise your hand. It's that way at your house. You know why that is literally true? Because when the seed of that woman and the seed of that man come together, that blood factor of that child comes from the male side of the DNA. And can I tell you that Jesus Christ had an earthly mother by the name of the Virgin Mary, but he had a sovereign, eternal, holy Father, God Almighty. Therefore, the blood that pulsated through his body and was shed upon Calvary and put on the mercy seat, this holy blood, pure blood, sinless blood, permanent blood, precious blood. Hallelujah. Jesus got here through the breath of the Holy Spirit. The sinless Son of God through the breath, the moving of the Holy Spirit. Number 3, write this word down tonight. Inspiration. How did the world get here? God breathed it into existence. How did Jesus Christ become the virgin-born Son of God? Holy Spirit breathed it into existence. How did you and I tonight get a perfect... without error, holy Bible, the Word of God in our hand. Same way, the Spirit of God breathe and move. We got a Holy Ghost breathe book. For the Bible said not some scriptures, not a few scriptures, not even your favorite scriptures, but all scripture is given by Theopneustos, the exhaling breath of God. All scripture is given by Simon Peter said it like this: holy men of old spake as they were moved by the Holy Spirit. Now, some of you old timers will remember this. How many remember your mother, maybe your grandmother, during the summer, putting up stuff? They called it putting up stuff. It may be blackberries, it may be blueberries, it may be strawberries. I'm going to tell you how poor they are over here on the Virginia side. They'll grow a watermelon and eat the watermelon and save the rind and make watermelon rind preserves. You said, that don't sound good. It, bless God, it is on a hot biscuit, amen. Or for my wife's generation, a hot brown and serve roll. And how many remember your mama and your daddy, grandpa, putting up stuff? Anybody here ever been blackberry picking? When I get to heaven, I'm going to ask the Lord, Lord, why did you put them blackberries around all them chickas? Because when I went blackberry picking, I got more sugar bites than I did blackberry. Well, they put it up. You know why? Because November, December, January, February, early March, I'm going to say, Grandma, shh. sure love to have some of them blackberries, some of them strawberries, some of them blueberries, some of that watermelon rind. She's not going to say, okay, go out there and pick you some. Go out there to the garden and pick you some. Because they're not growing out there on the vine in November and December and January and February and March. But you know what she'll say? I can do it, honey. I can do it. And boy, here she'll come with a little jar. Now, I know I'm in Tennessee, and some of y'all's grandparents you used a jar for something else. It's kind of liquid preserves, but... And I know rednecks go to this church because I hadn't been here 5 minutes to one man, redneck, in this church, met me out front and said, you going to sing a verse of Rocky Top? I'd start to say, no, I'm going to sing Sweet Home Alabama. Somebody say amen. Boy, Brother Gene, Grandma would come in there with that jar. And you ever seen that? Man, she'll undo that jar. And as soon as she does, you hear that jar pop on you. Boy, she opens that jar and peels that rubber seal off. Son, reach in there with her fingers. Man, pull out them blackberries, blueberries, strawberries, peaches, watermelon rind preserve. And you know what I found out? Man, it looks like blueberries. It smells like blueberries. It tastes like blueberries. And you know why it tastes like blueberries and smells like blueberries and looks like blueberries? Because it is blueberries. Oh, but it does more than look like blueberries and smell like blueberries and taste like blueberries. It's more than it is blueberries. It's the same blueberries and the same strawberries and the same watermelon rind that she put in the jar. It's the same she put in there because it had been preserved. I was preaching one night in a meeting on the inerrancy of Scripture, and a young man came up to me. He said, oh, Dr. Arthur, I enjoyed that, brother, but when you talk about that, you must mean the originals. I said, do what? He said, oh, Dr. Arthur, you must mean the originals. I said, how do you spell that? I said, sir, I've never seen an original, and I don't know where any originals are. And I've never met anybody that ever seen an original. He said, well, how can these things be? I said, I'll try to explain it to you, but I don't think you're going to know more about it then than you do now. I said, but the best way I can say it is this. Most all Christians with any kind of sense believe in revelation, that God revealed himself. And I said, and most Christians that really believe the Bible, you know, believe in inspiration, that God inspired the revelation. I said, but if you really want to go to heaven first class and be a fundamental Baptist, we go beyond revelation and we go beyond inspiration and believe in preservation. That God preserved the revelation in the inspiration. Amen. Son, Grandma had them strawberries in there. She had them blueberries in there. It's the same one she put in there in July. The same one she put in there in August. And they still smell like it. They still look like it. They still taste like it. Because they have been preserved. I'm glad I hold in my hand tonight a perfect, holy, inerrant, infallible word of the living God. That's true and pure and original because it has been preserved. Woo! I even like the cover, Holy Bible. Amen. I even like what it says inside, genuine cowhide. I love my Bible. Do a little experiment with me tonight. Hold your Bible in this hand. Now take your free hand. When I tell you to, turn. And it don't matter where you turn, because wherever you land is good. You ready? And I want you to listen to what I think is one of the most beautiful sounds on planet Earth. You ready? Turn. Oh, listen to that. Keep on turning. Ooh. Listen to that. As they say in the country, ain't that pretty? That sound. You know what that sounds like to me? Back during the summer, it hadn't rained in a week or two, and man, it gets kind of dry and parched, and all of a sudden over here, a little gray cloud will begin to form, and a little cool breeze will start shifting, and that breeze will go through them dry leaves, and them leaves go to tapping one another, saying, it's about to rain, it's about to rain. Man, I'm glad this book that I hold in my hand, when you open it, the rain comes, the wind blows, God speaks. I'm glad this is the holy, perfect Word of God, because God breathed it into existence. Let me say this in passing. You can trust your Bible, because it's the perfect Word of God through the Holy Spirit. Creation, the incarnation, inspiration. Number four, write this word down tonight. Regeneration. Regeneration. How did the world get here? God breathed it. How did Jesus get here? God breathed him. How did the Bible get here? God breathed it. Let's vote on something. Anybody here tonight saved? If you're saved, raise your right hand. Anybody here tonight saved and know it, raise your left hand. Keep them up. Anybody here saved and know it? And I've added this one. And glad about it. Wave them. Well, you know why you can sit there tonight saved and know it and glad? Regeneration. And you know how you got regenerated? The Spirit of God brooded, hovered, birthed, imparted the very life of God Himself in your spirit when you trusted Christ. Amen. Lord, that's enough to make a Methodist want to get sprinkled again. Regenerated. Regenerated. About my science teacher, I preached in a little city over in Reedsville, North Carolina that I lived in when I went to high school, and I saw an old boy that went to school with me. Hadn't seen each other in 30 years. We got to talking about our school days, and I asked about our science teacher. I said, how is he doing? He said, well, he's 250 and he's doing good. I remember that old man. He was a piece of work. He taught me about three kingdoms. I remember him telling me about them three kingdoms. That was the plant kingdom and the animal kingdom and man's kingdom. And you know what he told me? And I think he's right. I looked it up in the encyclopedia. Every entity is trapped in its own kingdom. In other words, it's impossible for a plant to become a man, and a plant to become an animal, and an animal to become a man, because it's trapped in its kingdom. But as my daddy began to preach to me, I found out that was another kingdom he didn't know nothing about, and it's called the kingdom of God. But I didn't get excited about it, because I figured if each entity is trapped in its own kingdom, I was out of luck. Because if it was impossible for a plant to become an animal and impossible for an animal to become a man, I just figured it'd be impossible for a man to get out of that and get in the kingdom of God. But I do remember something he said. He said, now scientists are trying their best to discover what we call regeneration. It's a derivative of the word regeneration. He said, we're going to find a way to regene. He said, somehow, if we can regene the plant and make it an animal and regene the animal and make it a man, we might be able to lift the entity out of its trapped kingdom. Son, I thought about that. I had me an old-fashioned Baptist spell, because that's exactly what God did for me when I got regened. I got regenerated. And let me say this to Mr. So-and-so, my science teacher. It may be impossible for a plant to become an animal, and it may be impossible for an animal to become a man, but it is not impossible through the new birth for an old man sinner to be lifted up out of the kingdom of death to the kingdom of life, out of the kingdom of darkness to the kingdom of light, out of the kingdom of hell to the kingdom of heaven, out of the kingdom of the devil to the kingdom of God. I got freed. I got lifted. I got put out of his kingdom into God's kingdom. I've been regenerated. Spirit of God imparted the very life of God in my spirit when I got saved. Look in the first part of verse number 2. You and I call the first part of verse number 2, I call it a before and after picture. Now, fellas, I don't know if your wife is this way, but you know, women are different. Women are different. I mean, you know, we could look at a shotgun and like, a rifle, a big Bertha driver. It don't mean nothing to her. But she can go up to toilet paper holders and go, oh man. Doorknob covers. Oh baby, look, some of the best beautiful. It's just a stupid doorknob cover. Shoes. The average man in this room tonight could open up a used shoe store. One lady just slapped her husband because he laughed. I'm sorry, sir. I was going down the other day. My wife said, I need some shoes. I said, whoa, wait a minute. You got plenty of shoes, baby. You can't wear but one pair at a time. She said, yeah, you can't shoot but one shotgun at a time. I said, that's the same thing. Not the same. That ain't the same thing. Anybody here feel my pain? My wife likes to look at houses, knowing she can't have half of what she looks at. But she likes to go look at it, then come back and look at it. And she loves the before and the after. How many of you tonight, the grace of God took your picture? Before and after. Look in verse number 2. Here's a before and after picture. And the earth was without form, void, and darkness was upon the face of the deep. Before the Spirit of God moved on this earth, it had no boundaries and borders. It had no fullness. It was empty. And it was dark. Darkness was everywhere. Oh, but when the Spirit of God moved on that which had no form, it took form. When he moved on that which is empty, it got fullness. When he moved on that which was darkness, it got in light. And now there's even light 24 hours a day. A light in the day called a sun. And a light in the night called a moon, because when the Spirit of God moves, even on a ball of dirt, it's never the same. Oh, look in verse number 2. That is a picture of your and my spiritual condition before salvation. You know what we were before God got on us? We were without form. There were no boundaries and borders of purpose for living in our life. We were void. We were missing something. We were empty. And we were in darkness, conceived in darkness, born in darkness, walked in darkness, lived in darkness, would have died in darkness, and what the hell the Bible calls a place of outer darkness. But aren't you glad when the Word of God was preached and the Spirit of God moved upon you? He brought you out of chaos and brought you out of confusion and brought you out of emptiness and brought you out of darkness. Hallelujah. Oh, what a difference it makes when the Spirit of God breathes on somebody. Regeneration. Regeneration. Boy, you can't give a man psychological treatment and make him a child of God. You can't send a man to reform school and make him a child of God. You can't legislate nor educate an old sinner out of darkness in the light. When the Spirit of God, through old time gospel birth, Holy Ghost bought, Spirit of God wrought salvation, borns him again. He's alive and saved because of regeneration, the breath of the Holy Spirit. Creation, the incarnation, inspiration, regeneration. And I preached all night to get to this in number five. Write this word down tonight. Dedication. Dedication. Now before I enlarge on that, let me lead you through a series of questions. Number one, how many believe tonight it is totally impossible to have this great big earth without the moving of God? How many believe tonight it's impossible to have a holy, perfect, eternal book without the moving of God? How many believes tonight that for Jesus Christ to be born of a virgin and live a sinless life and offer up sinless, perfect blood, it's impossible without a moving of God? And how many of you know by testimony it's impossible for an old sinner bound for hell to get gloriously saved and on his way to heaven without a moving of the Spirit of God? With that in mind, here's my point I want to drive home. It is that impossible and more for people like you and I to live a holy, dedicated, consecrated Christian life that pleases God and influences others. It's impossible without the breath and the moving and the unction of the Holy Spirit. For you and I tonight to try to live the Christian life without the power of God's Spirit, it's like trying to power this church without electricity. For you and I tonight to think we can live the Christian life without the power of the Holy Spirit, it'd be like trying to run your car without fuel. It's impossible. And tonight, people like you and me could never live a life that pleases God and reaches others apart from the moving, the unction, the breath of the Holy Spirit. You know what you'll find from Genesis to Revelation? In all 66 books of this Bible, whatever test God put on the flesh failed. Oh, where the flesh would always fail, the Spirit of God would always succeed. And did you know tonight you and I don't have to live in the energy or the power or the wisdom of the flesh? Did you know tonight it is our birthright as a child of God to be filled and anointed and unctionized and breathed upon by the Holy Spirit? John chapter number 20, Jesus has went to the cross. He has satisfied the demands of God. He has purchased salvation. He has went to the grave and conquered death, hell, and the grave. And 8 days, the number of new beginning after his resurrection, he goes to the upper room. For those disciples are hiding out. And what I love about that, he doesn't knock on the door nor ring the bell. He just walks in. And the first thing he said was, "Peace." You say, why did he say that first? Because he probably scared the devil out of him when he just walked in that room. Peace. Number two, he said, "Get out of here, boys. I'm going to give you a plan. Get out of here. Go to all the world and preach the gospel to every. Tell the whole world about me." But before he left that room, the Bible said he stood in the midst. I like that old word, midst. Do you know what that means in plain old southern language? Right smack dab in the middle. You know where God has always been? Right smack dab in the middle. The midst. He was in the midst of the fiery furnace. He even died in the midst of two thieves. He arose again and stood in the midst of them in the upper room John saw him in the New Jerusalem, and guess where he was at? In the midst of the four and the 20 elders. And he's even going to write and tell you and I what two or three are. Lord, have mercy. If I'd have known I'd had this much fun, I'd have come last night. Woo! Where two or three are gathered together in my name, there I am in the midst. You know where the Lord wants to be tonight? Right smack dab in the middle of our business. And the Bible said in John 20, 21, he stood in the midst of them. And the King James Bible said, and he, Jesus, breathed on them and said, receive you the Holy Ghost. And those 11, not 12, Judas has hung out. Those 11 plain, ordinary failures. Boy, if you don't think them, how many of you feel like this? If God can bless that bunch in Genesis and them 11 disciples, there's room for us. Pastor Jenkins, those 11 plain, ordinary men walked out of that upper room under the divine influence of the breath. Right. And the world has never been the same. It's been over 2,000 years. And here we are tonight in Gray, Tennessee. And if I read the sign right, since 1779. Hadn't been able to share that first Sunday. Oh, since 1779, we're still having church. We're still having church. Hey, people are still doing church all over the world because what God did in that upper room, the world has never been the same. And here's my part, and I'm done. If God can breathe on 11 men and they turn the world upside down, what in the world could happen tonight in this room if God would breathe upon us again? There's more than 11 people here. There's more than 11 people way up there in the top floor where all the rich people sit. There's more than 11 in every section. And Pastor, if the Holy Ghost can breathe on 11 men and the world never be the same, what could God do if he would breathe on us again? I was preaching several years ago in Jacksonville, Florida, on the Spirit-filled life. And I noticed that right during the sermon, I made the pastor mad at me. I mean, fighting mad. And the ride from the hotel to the airport the next morning was cold as ice. We pulled up to the airport, and I got ready to get out. And he said, oh, by the way, Dr. Arthur, I want you to know something. I don't believe one word of what you preached last night. I said, sir, before I get out of your truck, I want you to know I believe it enough for me and you both. And if you don't want your blessing, pass it down my way. And he said something to me that made cold chills run up my spine. He said, I've read about that D.L. Moody stuff. He said, I even went to Howells and Anderson College, and I heard Jack Howells talk about praying all night on his daddy's grave till he got anointed with fresh oil. I just want you to know I don't believe any of that. I said, I do. Woo! I do. And I want some breath. Some unction, some power upon me tonight. And it's available for the asking. You say, you got any scripture for that? Here's a good one. If ye being evil know how to give good gifts to your children, how much more? How much more shall your heavenly Father give the Holy Spirit to them that ask Him? He came into my heart when I got regenerated, but I want His power. I want His breath. I want His touch. May God breathe on us again. I'm going to tell you what's going to save our country, what's going to revive our churches. And I'm going to tell you what we're going to have to perpetuate old time religion to the next generation. Breath. 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 Come on, breath. God, breathe on us tonight. Let's stand all over the building. Our Heavenly Father, we love You. Lord, we love You. Lord, we love You tonight. We're indebted to You, Lord. Thank You for the cross. Thank You for the power of the blood of Christ. Thank You for the person, the office work of the Holy Spirit. And Lord, our flesh will fail. It has failed. It can't do nothing but fail. But oh God, Your Spirit, Your breath, Your unction, God, please breathe on us tonight. Breathe on our homes and our families again. Breathe on mom and dad and give us the wisdom to raise our children. Breathe on us grandparents tonight that our grandchildren may see God in us. Breathe on your preachers again, your pastors again, your singers again, your churches again. Lord, we'll never be the same. Our world will never be the same. Breathe on us. Breathe on us. We love You tonight. We give You the glory in Jesus' name. Our heads are bowed tonight. Our dear brother's going to sing. He asked me what I want him to sing. And I said, sing this. I believe it's what we need tonight. And here's the invitation. I wonder how many men and women and boys and girls, preachers, moms and dads, whoever. You need a little breath. Some unction. Some freshness in your soul. Let's get in this altar tonight and sing with our brother. Breathe on me. Breathe on me, oh Holy Spirit.
Spirit, breathe on me until my heart is clean. Let sunshine fill its inmost part with not a cloud.
Oh God, breathe on us in these days. Every part.
Cleanse every part. Holy Spirit.
You're going to sing another verse. How many moms and dads would say, I'm trying to raise children for God. I need some breath. How many grandmothers and grandfathers, I want my grandchildren to see God in my life. I need breath. I'm teaching a Sunday school class. I need breath. I'm trying to win my neighbor to Christ. I need breath. I'm trying to do something for the Lord. I need breath. I need breath. Move on me, God. Move on me, God.
Breathe on me. Breathe on me.
Holy Spirit.
Holy Spirit.
I love this line.
Take thou my heart, cleanse every part, Holy Spirit, breathe on me.
Sing us one more verse, my dear brother.
Holy Spirit, breathe on me. Fill me with power divine. Kindle a flame of love and zeal within this heart of mine. Breathe on me, breathe on me. Holy Spirit, breathe on me. Take thou my heart, cleanse every part. Holy Spirit, breathe me.
You can look this way. The bell's been rung tonight. Amen. I know I need this. We all need this. I was asking God to breathe on me as I fly down to Brazil. Use us to bring people to Himself. Thank the Lord. The Lord used you tonight. We give you praise. Give the Lord the praise for it. Be back tomorrow night. It's been good tonight. Maybe even gooder tomorrow night, you know. It's terrible English, but I like it anyway. I appreciate you coming tonight. Pastor Ferguson, sir, from Gunnings, God bless you. Dear friend of mine, thank you for being here. If you wouldn't mind to lift your voice and dismiss us in prayer, sir, please.
Our Father, we thank you for the message tonight. You're the servant, Lord. That's touched our hearts. God, we need the bread of heaven. We need the filling of your blessed Holy Spirit, Lord. God, our church is our nation, Lord. God, you give us a little space of grace. Lord, a little reviving. Lord, I believe you give us some years, Lord, that you're trying to do a work in our hearts and lives. Thank you for Brother Joe. Yes. God, you put your hand upon him. Thank you for this wonderful church here. Thank you, Brother Joey. What a dear friend he's been. Lord, these dear people, Lord, we love them. We always come here and feel right at home. We feel, God, tonight you minister to our hearts, Lord. Oh, God, let grandparents leave here tonight and feel the breath of God. Let parents leave here. Let preachers leave here. Let members leave here. Let us all leave, God, knowing that, Lord, you have breathed upon us. And God, you want to use us. And, Lord, I pray that you will help us, dear God. Bless tomorrow night. Lord, I pray for this church and this service. Tomorrow night, God, you'll move again. Save precious souls, and we'll thank you for what you do. In Jesus' precious name. Amen. Thank you.